Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
One of the things we see happening in the recent days, recent weeks, is people going around and actually purposely damaging, sometimes destroying, or even catching on fire Tesla cars and trucks, and also damaging charging stations and damaging Tesla dealerships as well. And it's interesting, this actually comes from the party who has been trying to, the political party, who really has been trying to force many people to actually buy electric vehicles. And here you have the most successful electric vehicle company in America, and you see actually violence happening to these Teslas and to the Tesla dealerships and the charging stations, and this is all because Elon Musk has been associated with and has joined and actually campaigned for President Trump. The question we're going to ask today is, what should happen to those who are actually committing these crimes? And one of the things that we have seen is in certain cases, maybe cases, criminal prosecution hasn't been actually happening in some of the cases instantly. But one of the things that is happening is you see not only some local charges being filed against people, but you also see federal charges being filed against people. And you see even President Donald Trump talking about this, and Attorney General Pam Bondi talking about this, and talking about how people are facing prison sentences up to maybe 20 years. So we're going to look, because the Bible should be applied, and the Bible does speak to every area of life. It not only speaks to your personal life, everyone knows it talks about your personal life, but it also talks about your family. People generally know that as well. It talks about the church. People generally know and accept that. But it also talks about government. It talks about criminal justice. It talks about what should happen, what types of punishments should actually happen. And one of the things you'll see actually when you look at the Bible and you read the Bible is you'll see that God's word, God's form of justice is actually more just and more merciful than our form of justice. A man's form of justice. What happens, let's say you own a Tesla and it is damaged. Maybe it's someone, I've seen some videos of a man keying a Tesla truck. And of course, you don't really, I mean, these people really, maybe they just think they're not going to get caught. But there are tons of cameras. There are a lot of cameras on a Tesla. And quite often, there are a lot of cameras around in businesses and homes today. Sometimes even when I'm running down the road, I'll hear a camera say, "You are being recorded." Well, I'm just running down the road. I mean, can I not run down the road? I mean, obviously, they're warning you. They're warning me and warning anyone else that passes by so that to try to deter crime. And there are a lot of cameras that are out there today. But what is going to happen? Let's say someone is convicted of damaging a Tesla and does go to jail for 20 years, let's say. And, there are certainly people that would say, "All right, let's give it to them. Let's prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. Throw those bums in jail." And yet, how does that help? What does that accomplish? Really, what that would accomplish is that the person who had the Tesla that was damaged, that person would actually have to pay tax dollars to keep this bum that damaged his Tesla in jail. He would be paying. for food. Might not be great food, but he would still be paying for food. He would be paying for housing. Might not be great housing or housing that would be desirable, but it still is housing. He would be paying for medical care and dental care. Again, I've been in jail for peacefully protecting preborn children. I know that the medical care and dental care that you receive, that an inmate receives in jail, is not the best. In fact, in some cases, certainly it's better than what people get in some parts of the world, but it definitely is not what you would get if you were able to go out and choose your own doctor and choose your own health plan and so on and so forth. So it's not great health care, but it still is health care. It still costs the taxpayer. The Tesla owner who had his Tesla damaged, or the Tesla dealer who had his or her dealership damaged, or the person who had, in fact, even a lot of the Tesla charging stations have been built by the Tesla company themselves. So their company would actually have to pay to keep the people in jail. And so, you know, you may say, well, hey, this is a good thing that we're prosecuting them, but it would be far better to actually employ and implement biblical principles on justice. And what we see when we look at the Bible, and a lot of people actually talk about criminal justice reform. We've seen a lot of people talking about that in the last 5 years. In fact, if we roll back the clock to the summer of 2020, we actually had major movements and major calls to defund the police and to let criminals out of jail. And in fact, in some cities, in some counties, in some states, that actually happened. Criminals were let out of jail. Prosecutors stopped prosecuting certain crime. And this has led to all kinds of changes, including some stores saying we're not going to have a store in this city. Other stores going to the effort of actually locking up spam, you know, that costs like $4, locking it up in a lockbox so that you can't get spam without actually paying for it. Or if you did get it, you would have a difficult time getting it out of this box. And so you see, a lot of people, when they talk about criminal justice reform, they're actually talking about not prosecuting criminals. And not prosecuting criminals is not a solution, but also, you know, just coming up with arbitrary sentences is also not a solution either. When we look at this issue, what we're really looking at first is theft. And the Bible in the Ten Commandments does prohibit theft. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's actually the Eighth Commandment. You can remember, if you think about the Ten Commandments, and one of the ways to remember them is to use some symbols in remembering them. And with the Eighth Commandment, you could draw, like, let's say, a figure eight, and picture that that's handcuffs. When you steal, you get arrested, and so that can maybe help you remember that the Eighth Commandment is, thou shalt not steal, or you shall not steal, in a more modern way of looking at it. But that's really what we're looking at here. We're looking at theft. We're looking at whether it's damaging someone's vehicle, blowing up someone's vehicle, damaging a dealership, or actually blowing up cars at a dealership, damaging Tesla charging stations, or blowing up certain elements of the Tesla charging station. We're talking about theft. We're talking about a violation of really someone's personal property. Your personal property is yours, and you should actually be able to have that personal property and to be free of someone actually stealing from that. Now, the Bible actually does deal with this. Biblical law does deal with this. We just talked about the Eighth commandment, you shall not steal. One of the things that happens in the Bible is you not only have the Ten Commandments, you also have Keith's laws. Just like kind of in our judicial system, we have laws that Congress passes. We have laws that the Senate and the House in our state pass as well. And then there's Keith's law. The Keith's law actually shows how those laws should be implemented, what should actually be done. And there are actually Keith's laws in the Bible. And you can find these in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Today we're going to look at Exodus. We already quoted from the Ten Commandments, which is found in Exodus chapter 20, and also Deuteronomy chapter 5. It's reiterated to the people in Deuteronomy chapter 5. One of the things about the law of God is that the people of Israel were together once a year to hear the law of God so that they could learn to fear the Lord. And the proclamation of the law of God, the belief that this is true, that God exists, that His word is true, that we need to actually obey His commandments and His precepts, this is something that we definitely need to follow and implement. But in Exodus chapter 22, in Exodus, the case laws in Exodus start in 21, chapter 21, and they continue on to 22 and 23 as well. But we're going to start in verse 1 of Exodus 22. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. So one of the things that you see when you look at the Bible, when you look at biblical principle, you're going to see when there's theft, you're not going to see the person going to jail. Certainly in certain cases, a person would be locked up for a short period of time until a truly speedy trial, not a speedy trial that can take months and years like we have in America, but a truly speedy trial would happen so that the judge could determine what actually happened in the case. But what you'll see when you see the biblical penalty for theft, you'll see double restitution and sometimes even 4 or 5-fold restitution. And there's different opinions on why there was additional restitution for those these different types of animals. But one thing some people actually believe, the reason the oxen had 5, you had to restore 5 oxen for an ox or 4 sheep for a sheep, is because of the work, the amount of work that these animals actually did. The oxen were used in farming, and they were used to plow fields. They were used to grind grain. And also the sheep, they weren't necessarily used in farming, but sheep were used for clothing. And of course, another part of this, there are other people that say, well, you know, that's not fully the reason. The reason is that these oxen and the sheep were actually used in sacrifice. So we're not really sure. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly why there were 5 oxen that were to be restored or 4 sheep that were to be restored. Certainly, if you look at, let's say you had a vehicle that was stolen, damaged, there would be some restitution that would need to happen from that. But there would be greater restitution if, let's say, that vehicle was used in your business, or maybe you had a trailer, maybe you had a lawn service and you had your lawnmower on that trailer and your lawnmower was stolen, or that trailer that had the lawnmower on it was stolen. That would certainly be a greater level of restitution that was needed, because That means that you can't go out and do the work that you need to do. And, of course, you know, you would need to acquire another trailer, another lawnmower, and this, that, and the other. So you see here that there are actually restitution that was needed. Going on, if the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there should be no guilt for his bloodshed. So we've covered this. This really addresses not only stealing, but also addresses the Second Amendment. And I do want to, I actually cut that verse short. I do want to finish it up there. If the sun is risen on him, there shall be guilt for bloodshed. So what you see here is that God actually, in the law of God, actually allows physical intervention to the point of killing someone. If someone is breaking into your house, if someone is breaking into your business even, to steal and to rob. However, if the thief breaks in at night and then he gets away, and you hunt him down the next day and you kill him, well, then that would be murder, and the Bible doesn't allow that. But the Bible does allow you to use lethal force even to defend your home, to defend your property, to defend your family. And this is something that we really need to realize, that there is a consequence to actually committing these types of crimes. And so you see that, you know, if the sun is risen on him, there should be guilt for his bloodshed. In other words, don't hunt the guy down after he gets away. If you do hunt him down, you don't kill him at that point. You just make sure that he comes to justice, that he is apprehended, and that he makes restitution. And that's what it says. He shall make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. So what you see here, the Bible actually does in certain cases permit slavery. The Bible actually permits slavery and it didn't permit slavery in the way that we saw slavery happening in America, where you actually had African warlords going and kidnapping other Africans from other tribes and then selling them as slaves, and they were sold maybe once or twice or three times, and eventually they came to America and they were sold as well. Those were people that were kidnapped. Kidnapping is a death penalty offense in the Bible. So that type of slavery, the type of slavery that we saw happen in America, was not allowed. But if you, let's say you were poor and you had debts that you needed to pay, you could actually sell yourself to someone for up to 6 years, and you could work for them for that period of time, and they would give you a lump sum payment in the beginning, and you would actually be able to use that to pay off your debt. You would then be their servant or their slave for 6 years, and when that 6 years came up, you would actually go free. And the Bible even says that the owner, the person that had purchased you for that period of time, should actually bestow on you gifts, and you would actually be able to go free. So the slave would actually personally benefit from that slavery. The slave could also, the Bible talks about this, as you read, I believe that's actually in Exodus 21 that talks about that. You can actually read that. But when you read Exodus 21, the Bible actually does give leadway where the person that's the servant, it's called a servant, he would actually say, I love my master, I want to continue serving with him. He could actually become what's called a bond servant, where he would continue throughout the rest of his life to be a servant to his servant. So if the owner of this slave were beneficial and maybe he even gave him a wife and he wanted to stay with his wife, then he could actually continue on and he could actually serve for the rest of his life. So what you see here, that if someone doesn't have money to pay the debt, they would actually be sold as a slave, and this would be really in it wouldn't be a permanent slavery. It would be again a 6-year slavery where they would be sold. Their wages for that period of time would be used to pay off their debt, or if it was less money that was needed, then they could be sold for even a shorter period of time. But they would be sold to pay off their debt. Now, typically, in many cases, if a person actually was owed someone something, they could actually be that individual's servant. But if someone had already stolen from you, you probably wouldn't want that person to be your servant, because they had already stolen from you once, and that's why they would actually be sold to someone else. But this is the biblical principle here. We also see that if the theft is certainly found alive in his hand, whether it is an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he shall restore double. So in this case, even with an ox or with a sheep or with a donkey, you would have double restitution. Why? Because the original animal was restored, and then he wouldn't just lose out. You know, he would still have to pay for another animal. So if it was an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he would have to actually buy another animal and actually restore that. You see, even going on, if a man causes a field or vineyard to be grazed and lets it loose his animal and it feeds on another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and of the best of his own vineyard. So here you see restitution for even grain, restitution for even vineyard, you know, restoring from the best of your field. And you know, they were an agricultural community back then, so you know, the people had grain, they had vineyards and so on and so forth. You see also, if fire breaks out and catches in thorns so that stacked grain, standing grain, or a field is consumed, he who kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. So you know, this would be something that, you know, hey, you're burning something. The fire gets out of hand. It, you know, you're not really purposely doing this, but it actually does damage your neighbor's field or your neighbor's grain. Then you would actually go out and you would make restitution from that. What we see when we look at biblical justice, the biblical justice system, what we're looking at is again, comparing this to modern day justice, where the person is arrested. They spend time in jail. The person that had the property damaged actually has to pay, along with all the other taxpayers, has to pay to house this person, to feed this person, to provide medical care and dental care. Again, may not be the best food, may not be the best housing, may not be the best medical care or dental care, but it still is medical care, dental care, housing, and food. It still costs money, and the person that is the victim actually has to pay that. Quite often, while in jail, who is the criminal going to be around? The criminal is going to be around other criminals. Quite often, that criminal will learn other ways of committing crimes, may even learn ways of not getting caught next time. And so you see, this really doesn't help out the criminal, doesn't help out the person who had the damage either. Quite often there is restitution that is made, but it's not multiples of restitution, it's just single restitution. And that can happen multiple years down the road. It can happen 4, 5, 6, 7 years down the road. You know, in a case of someone going to prison for 20 years, they probably won't spend 20 years in jail. But let's say they spend 7 or 8 years in jail, and then they would be like on maybe work release. And while on work release, part of their wages would be kept back until the amount was actually saved up to actually pay off the restitution. But in biblical times, in under a biblical justice system, the person that stole wouldn't be put into jail. By the way, when the person's put in the jail also, the person loses the ability to make money and to actually pay back their restitution or to provide for themselves, to provide for their families. And they may even lose their possessions. Like if they were renting a house, they're going to lose their possessions. Their stuff's going to be kicked to the curb. If they were driving a vehicle, that vehicle is probably impounded. Unless they pay a lot of money, they're going to lose that. But in biblical, with a biblical system, they would actually make double restitution at least, sometimes more than double restitution. Doing so teaches them responsibility for their actions and also shows them that there are consequences for their actions. It's a deterrent to others who would go out and seek to commit such a crime, and it actually does help them to be more responsible individuals and citizens. So when we look at what is happening, and this is just one case example, what should happen to those who are actually damaging Teslas? We should actually apply biblical principles. We should reform our justice system, which doesn't mean letting everyone that's a criminal out of jail or not prosecuting. It means applying biblical justice, and which would result in eliminating most jail time, but also would result in teaching the criminal and even the individual citizens who haven't committed a crime responsibility. There's responsibility for actions. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
There's more than one way to support the WCNO ministry. Prayerfully and financially are only the two most obvious. But did you realize how important it is for you to let the programmers and corporate underwriters know that you heard about them right here at WCNO Radio? That's right. Always mention the call letters WCNO when you write, call, or visit the ministries or supporters of WCNO. That's WCNO.
Take my hand. interstate.